Good morning, Bethel Christian. It is an honor to be with you today, and welcome to week 6 of Quarantine Church. I was counting down the days. It has been 42 days since our last regular service, and it is an honor to be with you this morning. I understand that we could be possibly joining you from any number of places in your house. We could be joining you in your bedroom. We could be joining you in your living room, the bathroom of all places. We could be joining you in your kitchen, but nonetheless, it is an honor to be with you this morning. Thank you so much for joining us this morning by way of Facebook Live. We never take for granted the pleasure that we get of being with you this morning, and it is an honor to be with you in your house with your family. God bless you this morning. We just speak life. We speak blessings. We speak just the favor of Jesus through your iPad, through your phone, through the laptop. We may be just broadcast on your TV, but God bless you this morning. May the favor of Jesus just be all over you and your family. God bless you this morning. Welcome to Bethel Christian. We love you. We miss you like crazy. For crying out loud, I counted 42 days since our last regular service. And if absence makes the heart grow fonder, we are so, so fond of you. And obviously, in traditional Bethel Christian fashion, please greet one another in the name of Jesus. High five, fist bump. If you don't have an iPhone, a Kindle, or an iPad, face bump. Type in where you're from. Say good morning. Just let us know that you're with us. We appreciate you so much. And go ahead and greet one another in the name of Jesus. As you're logging on, as you're jumping on into Facebook, we like to greet one another. And that's how we do it, by way of being quarantined. That's the only way we can do it. Amen. Until we get back together in the name of Jesus. And of course, we want to thank you so much for being faithful and logging on to our website and giving. You guys have been tremendous. Last week in our drive-in service, we had a tremendous giving opportunity, and we want to continue that as well. So if you can log on to BethelChristian.com, and in the upper left-hand corner, there's a drop-down box and a way to give. And so if you don't have by way of internet, you can obviously mail your offering or drop it off at the church. Linda has been here all week, and so we want to continue that in your faithfulness. You guys have been outstanding in providing a way to give your offering, and we appreciate that so much. In a traditional sense as well, I want to open up this morning's service with a scripture, and we're in Galatians chapter 5. This is a message version, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and it says this. I'm coming up out of resurrection service. It says this: Christ has set us free to live a free life. You have been set free. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. Amen. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you again, by way of what Jesus did on the cross for us, as we celebrated that last week. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you and your family this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for everyone who's watching us again, Father, by way of Facebook. Lord, I thank you for technology and what technology has allowed us to do over these past 42 days. I thank you, Lord, for the encouragement, Lord, that we have allowed to happen in this place. And I thank you, Lord, for the congregation, Lord, that's watching this morning. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, as life has sent out from this place, Lord, I pray, God, that encouragement and life, Lord, would be felt in our homes, of everyone that's watching, Lord, whether they're Bethel Christian, a Bethel Christian family, Lord, whether they're a visitor, whether they have stumbled on us by accident, Father, I pray, Father, that your presence, Lord, that your anointing, Lord, would be felt in the name of Jesus, Lord. There is no hindrance on you, Lord. Even though there's hindrances on us, there is no hindrance on you. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that, Father, freedom would be felt, Lord, that your presence would be felt, that anointing would be felt, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Have your way in this place, and have your way in our homes, in our families, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Father, let it be today. Lord, thank you for what you're about to do. Lord, we have expectation, Lord, and we, Father, we set and fix our eyes on you, our Heavenly Father, and our help. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you this morning. As Pastor Brown comes Have a tremendous day. We love you, and I'll see you at the end of service. Pastor Brown.
Amen, amen, and amen. So good morning, Bethel. It's great to be with you today again via Facebook and however people may be listening, even some of you who are on the phone. God bless you. May you sense the presence of the Lord as we share together. We are so glad that no matter where we are, we can be in the presence of God and that we can seek Him and enjoy Him. My choice would be the smaller the picture you have of me, the better I would like it, because then you can't see me that clearly. But if you got me on your television, oh my, then you could see all of what I look like. And this is really interesting for all of us who are doing these devotions, that you see us up close and personal. And I suppose that is okay. We're pleased that you could join with us today, and as Ryan has continued to encourage us, connect. Just say hello wherever you are. It blesses us and it blesses me. As this afternoon, after the service is over, we're able to just read some of the things and see where people have connected with us just to say hello, and that is such a blessing and an encouragement to us. And notice again, throughout the week, we endeavor to have a devotion at 10 o'clock on Mondays and on Wednesday after Ryan, also on Friday, and then we'll be here again Wednesday night, and then we're looking forward as we just continue to serve the Lord. Most of you have been aware of what's happening, at least in Ohio, and the openings that are being prepared to take place in our state, and so we want to pay close attention to it. As I just figure in listening and reading and noting the decisions that are being made by our governor and his team, that it looks like we're still going to be sheltered in, or as far as not being able to gather as a church for still a few more weeks. It may be the very, very end of May before we'll gather together like this, or gather together as a church. But until then, we're going to be with you. Until then, we're going to be sharing our hearts in this manner and speaking to you as your pastor, as your friend, and hearing from our other staff. I've just been encouraged listening to their devotions during the course of the week as well. Bless your heart. Thank you for your feedback to us. Thank you, as Ryan had said, for your giving. I do want to give us a challenge or a thought. Through this process, the government is sending out what I understand to be stimulus checks, and that some of you may have already received them. My encouragement would be, if you can, why don't you tithe on that check to missions? And that would help us, because we know that we're not through this, and there's going to be needs that people have, and we would like to provide not only for our regular missionaries and make sure that they are taken care of. I rest when I know that my staff is taken care of and our missionaries are covered. When those two things are happening, I rest better. And if you get a stimulus check, send a tithe on it and direct it toward missions. And we want to make sure that we are helping people, helping our missionaries, and being able to do some things perhaps beyond what we might expect even at this moment. But there are those that need food. There are those that need help. And if we have it, we want to be able to give it to them. And so this is a way that you can participate in this, and may God bless you as you do that. And we are encouraged by your giving. We're encouraged by your responses to us, and it is just good to be in the house of the Lord in this manner, looking to the Lord and asking Him for help. So, with all of that being said, let's go to church. Let's hear the message for this morning. And may your hearts be open, and as you get another cup of coffee and get yourself in place to hear, may God open our hearts, capturing this message and also seeing beyond what it is saying, and praying that this word today would go beyond this moment, and there will be others who will hear this, and they will respond with full understanding of what it is that God has done for them. The title of our thoughts for today is, What's in a Name? What's in a name? Surrounding the crucifixion and the trial and the death on the cross of our Lord and Savior, surrounding those events are several people that we are very familiar with. We know their names, and if we just say their names like Pilate and or Caiaphas or Herod, the scriptures, the verses, the stories that we remember, the accounts of how these individuals played a part in this last day of our Savior's life. But there's one individual that comes on the scene and off the scene quite quickly. And that's the individual that I would like to address today. I've been attracted to this man, this person, and we know him as Barabbas. Barabbas. And it was initially his name, just his name, that I began to look at and thought about doing just a brief a comment on his name. But the more I began to study it, I saw the volume and the importance of us considering what and who he represents. Let me just say this. We know, and we read from Scripture, that we are all represented in Adam. But I want to submit to you this morning that not only are we represented in Adam, we are also represented in Barabbas. And what he stands for, what happened in his life, is the same thing. What Jesus did for him is the same thing that Jesus has done for us and for our world. And may we see that in a fresh and a new way this morning as we talk about Barabbas. Now, he is found in all four Gospels. And that's unusual because that's not always the case. But what is fascinating, if there's more ink, more written concerning Barabbas than there is of Judas Iscariot. Now, I want us to go to the text that I've drawn my attention to, and it's found in Mark chapter 15. It's verses 6 through 15. Mark chapter 15, verses 6 through 15. And I want to read those to you and then give you some of the considerations that I have come across as I've just worked on this thought of what's in the name and who is this individual and what he represents and what it means to us and what it should mean to others as well. In Mark chapter 15 and verse number 16, it begins like this, church. Now, at the feast, he was accustomed, and that would be Pilate, to releasing a prisoner to them whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels. Important for us to note that. They had committed murder and rebellion. The multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? For he knew, important, Pilate knew that the chief priest had handed him, Jesus, over because of envy. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said unto them, What then do you want me to do with him whom you call King of the Jews? So they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said, Why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, Crucify him. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had him scourged to be crucified. First thing that I want us to address today and to consider is this name. Because this is where it all began for me. I thought about this in the past, but it wasn't until recently. I just began to dive into this and begin to read and begin to reflect and begin to think, and it opened up so much to me personally that I want to unpack to you today. Let's consider the meaning of the name. What's in a name? As you will note, and just if you've had any experience in reading the scriptures and seeing different names, you've seen names like Bartholomew or Bartimaeus or Simon Bar-Jonah, and you are familiar where the idea of Bar means son. The Jewish boys would go through something called Bar Mitzvah, and that's where a Jewish boy would be a son, would become a son of the law. And that's the idea of Bar Mitzvah. But the word Bar means son. And we are familiar with the word Abba. Abba. We sing and have sung songs. Abba, Father. Very tender, very precious, very intimate, that God is our Abba Father. And so Barabbas means son of a father, or son of the Father. I mean, how, in some ways, how generic can that be, but also how inclusive that can be. We are all children of a Father. Children of the Father. Now, at this particular time, Barabbas had been sentenced to death. This individual, this son of a father, had been sentenced to crucifixion. Now, crucifixion was normally would take place to Rome's worst criminals. They would be the ones that they wanted to make a public example of. Now, when it comes to Jesus, we know that earlier in his ministry, that there were times that the Jewish leaders wanted to take his life. And in John chapter 8, around verse 59, they wanted to stone him, and he was able to pass through their midst. See, that would not be the kind of death that Jesus would die. All indications, and even as we read afterwards, that his blood would have to be shed. He would be wounded for our transgression. He would be pierced. That is evident from prophecy and evident from what took place. So crucifixion would ultimately be the means by which God would use for his son to be sacrificed, but the Jewish leaders would be instrumental in helping that come to pass. They wanted to get rid of him. Little did they know that the way he would die would be a death of a sacrifice, not just for them, but for the whole world. Barabbas was condemned to die. He was condemned to die, and he was a known, the word notorious means known. He was a known insurrectionist. He was a known robber. He was a known violent man. But the word just means he was known. People were aware. Of the three who were crucified that day, that the Romans crucified that day, only Barabbas is named. Now, what we know, that one son replaced another son. One son of a father was replaced by the son of the father. Death by crucifixion would really mean you wouldn't be able to breathe. You died by asphyxiation. You could no longer lift yourself up to grab enough air to continue on. And some crucifixion, some people, it took them 3 days to die. So when a person was condemned condemned to be crucified, thinking about it, imagining what was going to happen to them, was almost brought as much torment as the actual experience itself. Now, it's important for us to understand just a little bit of that that Rome did not tolerate insurrection. Pilate's behavior, he did cause quite a stir at different times. But the first thing that I want you to understand, just the simplicity of the name Barabbas, son of a father, child of a father, whether it's a man or a woman, the idea is it's a universal statement. And that takes me to my second thought is that as we considered the name and considered the meaning, I want us to consider the message that is there. Now, obviously, Jesus took Barabbas' place. Obviously. Barabbas was the one who had committed the crimes, not Jesus. He was guilty, not the Lord. But the application to this can move from Barabbas to us. Now, I know that when we think of Barabbas, we are not as bad as Barabbas. But when you think of God's glory compared to our lives, God's glory is way up here, and we and Barabbas are way down here, so we have much more to identify with him than we would with the glory and the holiness of God. Scripture makes it very plain, church. Friends, very plain. It says there's none righteous. Nobody that does right. Nobody. No, not one. And it tells us we have all of us have fallen short of God's glory. And then Isaiah says, we have all gone our own way. We have done our own thing. We have rebelled against God, and we're going to do what we want to do. And that rebellion is the reason why Jesus came, that he might bring us back together, because we were against God. And Jesus made it possible for us to be one with God again. He did it for us. If there's anyone that could have made the statement, I should have been crucified, it was Barabbas. Even the thief on the cross said to his companion, said, we are getting what we deserve. Can you imagine the surprise that morning when the Roman guards made their way into that prison? And as they were unlocking the doors and they came to Barabbas, knowing that he was destined, and they're getting ready to take these prisoners and these convicted criminals to Golgotha for a crucifixion, they're getting ready to do that, when the Roman guard steps to his gate, to his cell, and opens it up, he says to Barabbas, you're free, you can go. You're free. You can go. What a message. What a message. That speaks to us. That speaks to you and me. Because as Jesus took his place, Barabbas' place, he also took our place. Our lives would have still never been enough to pay our debt. Hebrews tells us that it's appointed on the man once to die, and then after that is the judgment. But God, because he cared so much, sent his son to take our place. As sobering as this is, when Jesus replaced us, he replaced us with life, and an abundant life, not just in the future, but now. I came that you might have life and have it in its fullness, now and forever. Who would not want to take that invitation? He knew. Barabbas knew it was just a matter of time before he would be taken. He knew that the judgment was right. He knew what he had done. Sure, he would wanted to be free and continued to do what he wanted to do, but that would not be the case. If we could just rewind back for a moment to the text in that scene where Barabbas is chosen over Jesus. What an interesting moment. See, Pilate was a political animal. and he wanted to save his position, and he was both, you know, somewhat shrewd but also weak. He knew that insurrection in Israel, difficulty in Jerusalem, was not a good thing for him. But he hated any that came against Rome and came against him. You might recall in the scriptures of a time when there were some Galileans, where usually that's where a lot of the insurrections were at, northern Israel, and not so close to the power, center of power. But they came down to offer sacrifices during one of those times, and Pilate sent in some of his men, and as they were offering their sacrifices, he mingled their blood with them. He was ruthless at times, especially when it came to someone against the Roman Empire and would threaten also his position. And so now he has three criminals that are going to be crucified on this particular day. But he had a custom. He had a custom, and that's what we read about, and you see in the other gospel accounts, that he, during this time, would offer some generosity to the Jewish people. And so, in the midst of this, he thought he could get Jesus freed. He sent him to Herod. That wasn't enough. Herod just sent him back. Herod was in town for the Passover season. And here he was again, faced with Jesus. And then, as all of this is going on, he gets a message from his wife. Actually, it was a distraction, but the message was true and real, and he should have listened to it. His wife sends word to him, don't have anything to do with this righteous man. Don't have anything to do with him. And while he was listening to that message, you can almost imagine the Jewish leaders stirring up their crowd to come against Jesus and call, as we see and have seen from the passages, to call for Barabbas to be released and Jesus to be crucified. What a moment. What a scene. And so Pilate, thinking, I got an idea. This has been something that I have done. And you can almost see him turning to his associates, his administration people, and say, who's the worst criminal? Who's the worst guy that nobody likes? What is his name? And they said, well, we got it. It's Barabbas. See, now, don't think that the Jews like Barabbas any more than the Romans. I mean, Barabbas, he was an insurrectionist. And if you had any sympathy for the Romans, if you even worked with the Romans, if you even acknowledged the Romans, you were his enemy. So it wasn't like Barabbas was a friend of the Jews. He was a robber, a murderer, an insurrection. He was causing difficulty, and everybody knew it. He wasn't a friend of the Jewish nation. He caused grief wherever he went. He was after his own cause, but he hated the Roman government. And Pilate thought he had it. I'm going to get the worst possible person, and I'm going to bring him. He's going to be the one that I'll bring to the Jews and see if they will release him, release Jesus instead of this notorious person who is known for his behavior. Little did Pilate understand the depth of the hatred that those people had for Jesus. This man will not rule my life. This man will not rule our life. It's either me or Jesus. And if it's me or Jesus, Jesus has to go. Wow, what a sobering thought. But that is exactly what happened on that day. Now, if you're Barabbas, and he very well, research kind of indicates, he could have been close enough to hear. So you're in your cell, and all of a sudden you hear, Barabbas! 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 And you wonder, what's that? What's this all about? And then the next, because he has no context. He has no context. And then the next thing you hear is, crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! He has no context. They're calling for me. It's over. I'm done. just a matter of time. In just a few moments, they're going to come and take me, and it'll be it. I will suffer the most humiliating, degrading type of death on a Roman cross. And it's going to happen. Think of that. That's where we find ourselves at that moment. But the ploy of Pilate didn't work. He had this thing set. He knew that the Jews were doing this because of envy. At least four times he said it, and five times you can find it, that he said, he's not guilty. I find no fault in this man. Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. And yet, at this moment, there would be a turn. Because he was more concerned about his welfare, more concerned about what would happen to him than what was going on and who stood before him. And so he calls out, and who do you want me to release? And the echo begins to scream back, Barabbas, Barabbas. Well, what do you want me to do with the King of the Jews, your King, Jesus? What do you want me to do with him? Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And instead of letting him go, his plan failed miserably. And he said, fine, let him be crucified. Washed thinking he could wash his hands of the whole matter and leave it with him. But not only were the Jews responsible, not only was Rome responsible, not only were the Gentiles that participate were responsible for that moment, we also carry responsibility. He died on a cross for me. Barnabas, I'm Barnabas. Or Barabbas, I'm Barabbas. You're Barabbas. We're Barabbas. And that really brings me to one more thought that I think has just kind of driven me this week. And my poor wife has had to hear this a half a dozen times already as I kind of work through this. And I said, listen to this, listen to this, listen to this. So I've been preaching to her, and she's very encouraging, and say, yeah, that sounds good, that sounds good. As she sips her coffee and eats her piece of toast, she's just a nice lady, and you know that. But let me just consider the moment. We've considered the meaning of his name. It affects us all. The message affects us all. But also the moment affects us all. And this has been the emotional thing that I felt as I worked through these thoughts on Barabbas' life. Somewhere along the line, Barabbas realized that somebody took his place. Somewhere along the line, when they came to release him and he said, well, what's happening? Well, somebody, well, who? Who's taking my place? The question would have almost seemed to be natural. Well, I'm bad. Somebody must be really bad that's taking my place. Who is it? Now, it isn't that he might not have heard about Jesus. I mean, after the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, I mean, there was stir all over the city. And no doubt he probably would have heard and somebody would have said it's that Jesus of Nazareth. He came into the city with a large crowd, but they all kind of dispersed. They arrested him, and now they've taken him and let you go. What? Taken him and let me... Now, we don't know what Barabbas did. Did he get out and go to Golgotha and say, who is this one taking my place? Or did he just run? Because he said, man, I'm free. Whatever mistake they've made, I'm all about it, and I am out of here. When that gate of that cell rattled, when those keys rattled, when that thing began to open up, he thought it was over. He thought it was over. But he had this moment. And you know what? We have a moment too. Everybody has a moment. And would you consider that with me? See, we're all placed in a time and have an opportunity that we are going to realize that Jesus took our place. And what are you going to do when that truth comes to you? We do not know. History does not tell us what Barabbas did. Didn't tell us. We don't know. We hear this story, we hear that story. We don't know what he did. And you know, there's times when I have stood in a funeral home and given words during a service and not knowing the condition of the individual that I'm talking about. And we have conversations like this. Well, we don't know. We hope that before it was all over with, he cried out to God. We would hope that, but we don't know. Hear me. You don't want that to be the testimony of your life. Somebody will stand in front of your casket someday. Somebody will say something after our passing about us. You don't want them to have to say, well, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. We don't know what happened to Barabbas. We don't. But we do know that Jesus took his place. And we also know that Jesus took our place. He deserved the punishment, but Jesus took it for him. If he was able to see the crucifixion, he would have known that those nails were for him. He would have known that he was supposed to be on that middle cross. The realization of that moment. And that's what gripped me as I studied this. I am praying that there will be those that will listen to this and have the realization that it was me. I'm Barabbas. I'm Barabbas. It would have seemed that if we would write the story, that Barabbas would have found his way to the cross and fell at the foot of the cross and said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We don't know what he did. He had an opportunity to do whatever could be done in some way. I have an opportunity. I've had opportunities. You've had opportunities. And I know that there have been many occasions when there are those who have been brought to this moment where they realize it was for me. It was for me. You know, we've had witnesses in our lives. Some of you got a wife that loved God so much and she testifies of God's in her life. And she's been praying for you for decades to give your life to God. There's husbands that have been praying for their wives to surrender to the Lord. They've done their best to live a good life, trying to be an example. Children that we've prayed for, children that parents have asked God. We've tried to be a witness, tried to show Jesus. Children who tried to show Jesus to their parents, friends. We've had people that have brought us to that moment where we have been in a cell and we are in a cell and we are locked and the door comes and the key is turned and the opportunity for freedom is given. What a thought. What a thought. What a thought. Yes, he does represent us. So let me wrap this up with this. I just simply said this in my conclusion for you and for me. It's our turn. It's our turn. Many people have been given many opportunities to say yes to Jesus. Yes to the response. Again, we don't know what happened in this case. But we have been shown, we have heard, we know. We know. We know. We identify with Barabbas. But could you imagine this? Could you imagine when the Roman guards came to that cell, opened the door, and said to Barabbas, "You're free. You're free." And can you imagine him saying, "Oh, no, I'm good. That's all right. Yeah, I like it in here. I'm going to stay here." Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, I'm not interested. Ridiculous. But hear me today. People are locked up. And Jesus came to set us free. And he died and paid the price for us to be free. And that door has been unlocked. And freedom is available. Don't stay in those chains that cripple your life. Freedom is yours. Consider your moment and experience the freedom that God has given. Yes, he died and he rose again. And because of his death and his resurrection, we can have the freedom that he provided. We are Barabbas. And we can make the choice. Jesus has brought us freedom. He took our place. And may we, as many of us have, embrace that with all of our hearts and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. We couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. We deserved judgment. We deserved it. But he said, I'll take it. And he did. And it's available. That freedom is available to you and me. So in a quote, Barabbas moment, when we realize that we're him, we're he, would we just say, God, forgive me, and take the freedom that is ours? It's there. It's already there. There's nothing that Barabbas could have done to get it. There's nothing that you can do to gain it. You can't turn over a leaf. You can't decide to be a better person. That's not it. It's surrendering to the one who paid the price to set you free. So I encourage you, come to him. And if that is your prayer, and you prayed that prayer, let us know. Let us know that you opened your heart. Maybe you've been away from God, and you've been reminded today. Would you return to him and surrender to him? Let me pray for us all. Lord, we are moved by the simplicity of this man, and yet the complexity of the truth and the reality of it, that of what you've done. Thank you, Lord, that you paid the price. We are Barabbas. We identify with Barabbas, just like we identify with Adam. And now we want to identify with you. And Father, I pray that in the simpleness of people's hearts today, they would just bow their hearts before you and say, Lord, forgive me and help me. I want out of this prison. I want to be free. And I want the freedom and the release that you came. You came, Lord, to set the captives free. I want to be free. In Jesus' name we ask this and pray this today. Amen and amen. Love you, friends. Love you, church. Joy to be with you today. May the peace of God be yours. Pastor Ryan.
Well, hallelujah, church. You should be doing one of two things right now. You should be bawling your eyes out or running circles in your house. He took our place. Amen. We didn't deserve a hair of it, but he took our place. God bless you. Man, oh man, what a thought, what a sermon. God bless you, Pastor Brown. God, we appreciate you joining us this morning. Go ahead and finish running around. Go ahead and wipe those tears away. What a thought that Pastor Brown brought us this morning. We want to encourage you this week, obviously, keep following us on Instagram. Run Youth has an Instagram. I know Jam Adventures has a Facebook. I know Bethel Girls Club has a Facebook as well. Follow our various ministries. Barb will be sending a video on Facebook. I'll be going live again as well on Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. And then Olivia will be going, sending a video at 10 a.m. on Friday. And then Pastor Brown will be going live here on Wednesday evening. So we have a lot of various ministries still going on throughout the week. So hopefully we're on the backside of this. Hopefully we are rounding third and heading for home. So keep the conversation going. We're going to keep the chat going for about another 2 minutes. We love you. God bless you. Be blessed this week. We miss you like crazy. And we'll see you Wednesday morning. God bless you, church.